This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A bit later in the hour, we'll be talking with Jane Goodall. But first, you had a bad day. You get into your car, you head home, you flip on the radio, and what happens? You hit the shuttle button, maybe, on your MP3 player or your iPod. Your favorite song comes on. And you're hearing that song, and it makes you feel joyful. I know Margo Adler just walked by. She said it made her feel great. Well, in addition to giving you a bit of a mental rush, believe it or not, it may have been doing your heart some good as well. In work presented this week at the meeting of the American Heart Association, researchers say that listening to joyful music can actually dilate your blood vessels and make it easier for blood to flow through them. And that song you just hate, the one that stresses you out, well, you're right. You might want to change the channel and get it off your playing list, because listening to that music can actually make your blood vessels constrict. Here to talk about the connection between your playlist and your heart health is Dr. Michael Miller. He's the Director of Preventive Cardiology at the University of Maryland Medical Center and Associate Professor of Medicine at the University of Maryland School of Medicine in Baltimore. Welcome to the program, Dr. Miller.
Thank you very much. Our pleasure to be here.
You actually tested this out on people.
We did. We tested this on a number of volunteers who actually enjoyed participating in the trial.
I'll bet. What did you have them do?
Well, what we asked them to do was to select a number of their favorite musical selections that they really enjoy. So we didn't want to force upon them music, whether it was classical or a specific entity. We wanted them to choose, based upon their previous experience, those individual songs or artists that made them feel good, gave them a sense of euphoria, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And then you brought them in and you had them listen to the music for a certain period of time?
Right. We did ultrasound testing of their upper arm in order to evaluate the inner lining of the blood vessels, how that responds. So, for example, we know that mental stress causes that inner lining to constrict. And our previous studies on laughter had demonstrated that we could expand those vessels after watching a movie that promoted a hearty chuckle, if you will. So in this particular experiment, we now had them listen to music for about 30 minutes.
And their blood vessels expanded.
I mean, the blood vessels
dilated.
Expand, right?
Wow.
On an average of about 25%, which is similar in magnitude to what has previously been observed with aerobic activity and also statin use.
That's amazing. You must have been surprised.
Yeah, we were pretty surprised. We were, again, the idea being whether or not there is a strong connection between the mind and the heart. And there appears to be. We've known that, of course, with respect to stress and anxiety-provoking situations.
Mm-hmm. And we've all heard about these endorphins that people get from the runner's high, things like that.
Exactly. And now, we don't know the precise biochemical mechanism, but endorphins would serve as one of our leading contenders here, because we do know that when you feel good, that endorphins are released. And the real question is there direct activation from endorphin release from the brain? Is there direct activation to the inner lining of the blood vessels or the endothelium, if you will? Or is there crosstalk between the release of endorphins and then activation, if you will, of nitric oxide, which is one of the primary chemical mediators that causes this expansion of the blood vessel?
Hmm. So you're saying that if you can have a good laugh, then listen to a good song.
Yes, and if you could have a little bit of dark chocolate with that while you're on your treadmill.
Wow, get them all in one place. Now, you know, sometimes for me, I mean, I know this works for me, hear a great song, it relaxes me, I feel better, it actually changes my mood. But it seems that there has to be sort of a time interval between it. You know, if I hear the same song every day, it's not going to work as well.
Well, you know, Ira, that I think is a critical point, and one of our recommendations in terms of asking our volunteers prior to them engaging in the experiment, we asked them to refrain from listening to their favorite music for at least 2 weeks. There's this effect called emotional desensitization. So, you know, if you listen to the same song that you hear on the radio, which is, of course, the problem with playing top 40 songs, so you like the song, you get a high, if you will, from it, but they play it over and over again, and then you become desensitized. And so, you know, if we were going to make a recommendation about listening to music on a regular basis as part of an overall heart-healthy program, we would say to listen to your favorite song, then put it away for a couple of weeks, and then switch off with other songs.
What I also found equally is intriguing is the opposite effect, that if you listen to unjoyful music, it constricts your arteries. There.
Right. Again, this is similar to what has previously been observed with mental stress, or asking somebody to subtract 7 from 100 mental arithmetic exercises. They promote a feeling of anxiety, and then other chemicals perhaps are released, overriding this beneficial effect, leading in effect either to no response or to, as you point out, some evidence of constriction.
Mm-hmm. So it's like watching a bad or a sad movie, I would imagine.
Yeah, depression has been shown to induce similar findings. Remember, the endothelium serves, the inner lining of our blood vessels serves as the gatekeeper to vascular health. And in fact, towards the development of hardening of the arteries, the earliest stage in that process is changes in the endothelium, such that there is endothelial dysfunction, if you will, prior to even the development of plaque formation.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can get a quick call in here from David in St. Louis. Hi, David.
Hey, I was calling about one. I don't remember what university did the study. I was in college 10 years ago, and the study may have been from 10 years before that. I don't remember, but they were testing the performance of the football team while they were lifting weights with different varieties of music. And if they were playing upbeat music or no music, their performance was about the same. The one that really stood out to me was if they played reggae, that literally, I guess if the players, for lack of a better term in music, feel the groove, that they would physically lift less weight while listening to reggae than listening to other
types of
music.
You mean more weight? They lift more weight while listening to reggae?
Well, no, they said their performance actually dropped off.
Oh, it dropped off. Oh, they didn't like the reggae.
No, it wasn't that they didn't like it. It wasn't whether they liked it or not. I guess it was just the fact that reggae is a rather low-energy type performance, and that their bodies kind of mimic that.
Let me get a reaction. Is it the fact that you have to like the like the music, or is that the factor involved?
Well, you know, obviously we didn't specifically evaluate that. The question is maybe they were too relaxed. And by being too relaxed, they just didn't have the motivation to lift the weight. So the reggae was so pleasing to them, they didn't feel like doing anything else.
Mm-hmm. Now, you only had 10 people. Is that enough to be able to say that this is a real effect?
Right. So these individuals participated in 4 different activities. And when you use yourself in what we refer to as a crossover design, then, in fact, because there is minimal variability, obviously, compared to having 2 different individuals participate, this would give you statistical power of more than 40 individual people.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, looking at the baseline measurements among the different phases were very tight.
Yeah.
We also had one individual, a gentleman named Charles Mangano, who's been doing this for 10 to 15 years and a real expert in the area, who did all the studies himself. So having one individual doing all the studies really, I think, with a lot of experience, helps to enhance its validity.
Well, then, is there something special about the music, or would any activity that makes you feel good also help your blood vessels?
Well, it's a great question, and clearly it's now been demonstrated for the 2 positive emotions, laughter. It's also been demonstrated, by the way, in dark chocolate. We know exercise also causes this beneficial dilatory effect, and now music. So my best guess is if we're promoting this idea of endorphin release, then it would be any kind of activity that would bring on a feeling of euphoria, if you will.
So there has to be some sort of emotional rush going on here.
I believe so. I believe that to be the case here. Now, again, we need to go back to the lab and evaluate the biochemical factors that may be promoting this. Jeffrey Ryan in my laboratory will be doing these analyses. But so I think there's more to the story to help us understand these mind-heart connections.
Mm-hmm. So your prescription for those of us listening this Friday and for the weekend?
Yes, my prescription is to, of course, never to take ourselves seriously to begin with, but secondly, to play music that we really enjoy, especially when we're in traffic and we can't do anything about it anyway. So you might as well put on something that will help to relax you, make you feel good, and then put it away for 2 weeks and then switch off with other music that makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you say make sure you don't listen to it too often because you're going to use yourself up, so to speak.
Right.
You're going to acclimate to it.
You're going to get the biggest rush, obviously, when you the first or second time that you've heard it, once you're, of course, familiar with it.
Well, we have a question from Twitter from Plainsight says, is there any objective data on what music is, quote, joyful or stressful, or does it depend on the person?
I really think it depends on the person, because obviously what music brings joy to you may not bring the same feeling of joy to your colleagues. And so I think, again, it's something that we need to obviously investigate, but individuals are so different, and it's really, I think, unique to that person. And it could be based upon previous experiences.
Yeah.
It could be based upon, the name of a song. For example, the song Lana from Roy Orbison reminds me of my daughter, Alana, based on the name. So there are a lot of things that may make you feel emotionally attached to it.
One quick question from Jay in Cincinnati. Hi, Jay, quickly.
Greg, I was just wondering, I like to sing. Sometimes I feel more connected, better well-being after I sing a song I love. Could I be getting a similar effect from singing, as you're talking about, from listening to happy music?
I think so. I think if it brings you, if it gives you that sense of euphoria, again, I think it's an emotional effect.
All right. Dr. Miller, we've run out of time. I want to thank you very much. Michael Miller, Director of Preventive Cardiology at University of Maryland Medical School. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you.
We're going to switch topics. Bring in Jane Goodall. If you'd like to talk to Jane Goodall, stay on the line. We'll have a long conversation with her. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation, Science Friday from NPR News.